Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Now, in Arizona is a fascinating abortion story. So in 1864, Arizona was not a state, it was a territory. And they passed a law banning abortions unless the mother would die in the birthing process. But rape, incest, no. Banned it. Now, the legislature of Arizona and the Supreme Court are upholding that law from 1864. It's shocking. And it's causing all kinds of trouble and may put Arizona in the Biden camp, where Arizona, the polls show, trending toward Trump. This crazy thing in the legislature, and it is insane. If you want a new updated law, Arizona, vote for it. Don't drag us back to 1864. Joining us now is Dr. Samara Klar. She's a professor of political science at the University of Arizona. Very pleased to have her today. Am I miscategorizing what is happening with Arizona and abortion?
No, I mean, I think you're characterizing how most Arizona voters feel about the new law. I did some polling on it a few weeks ago, just before the Supreme Court ruling. I know it's 66% of Arizonans oppose any ban, even with exceptions. Only 7% of Arizona voters said in this poll that they support a ban without exceptions. 7%. So it's hugely unpopular, as you suspect.
Then why are the Republicans almost decapitating themselves over this? If your poll shows it, and I believe it's accurate, why are they doing this?
I think many of the Republican candidates, Carrie Lake and other Republicans in Arizona, are sort of associated with these Republican or with these abortion bans at this point, because they did celebrate the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and they did
But there's a difference, though. I mean, Lake repudiated this law. I think you probably saw that over the weekend. Said, I'm not supporting this, because she knows it, women in Arizona are not going to go for this. But this is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a Republican legislature ever do. They're handing the state to Biden. There's no reason to do it. It's not going to happen, by the way. The feds are going to stop it. And it's easy stopped. It's like you weren't even a state when this law passed. This law doesn't stand. That's so easy. Why would they bother with this?
Well, I think the Republicans are in a pretty tricky situation at this point. They can either legislate a new law, which at this point they have yet to do. They've had some debate in the legislature, but Republicans have not voted to repeal the law. Or they can allow it to be on the ballot in November, which I think would be a huge advantage for the Democratic candidates, as it would probably engage a lot of voters to
Yeah,
come
but
out.
Professor, I but they gotta know that. They have to
Oh, I'm with
know.
you. I mean, I don't know why they're doing it. If you're asking me
So you
why
don't know
Republicans.
why they're doing it. I mean, if anybody watching us right now or listening to us in Arizona knows why these Republicans are killing themselves over this, there are sane ways to go about restricting abortion, in my opinion. All right, I think the people in California and New York, right, I think the people in California, New York, and other states with no bans at all, I think that's horrendous. I think that's Mao Zedong stuff. All right, that's how bad it is. But you can find reasonable laws. Last word, it looks to me like some really far right people are running the Republican Party in Arizona. Am I wrong?
Abortion position in Arizona among many of the Republican candidates does not line up with Republican voters or, of course, voters in general. And you're right, it is an advantage for the Democratic candidate in Arizona.
All right. Thank you, Doctor. We appreciate it very much.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Manhattan is a violent place now, full of anarchy and disrespect. Criminals are running wild. On April 4th, a short time ago, a man named Jean Zarzula was in Grand Central Station. There's Zarzula. He walked up to a 54-year-old woman and punched her in the face, breaking her nose for no reason. New York City Judge Lori Peterson, notoriously soft on violent crime, let him out with no bail. Okay? On April 13th, 9 days later, Zarzula was again back in Grand Central Station and punched a 9-year-old girl in the face. 9 years old. Cops caught him again. Second time they caught him. Now he's being held on $100,000 cash bail. So the 54-year-old woman, still recovering, broke a nose, as I said. The 9-year-old girl had to go to the hospital, and she'll never be the same. If you're 9 years old and a stranger comes over and punches you in the face, you're never going to get over that, ever. And the only reason that Zarzula was able to do that was because Judge Lori Peterson let him out after he punched the 54-year-old woman for no reason. This is beyond disgraceful. Lori Peterson should resign right now, but she doesn't care. So what? An elderly woman, middle-aged woman, 9-year-old girl punched. I don't care. Now, she should be impeached, but who's going to do it? Democrats control the city and state of New York. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Joining us now from New York City is Detective Paul DiGiacomo. He is the president of the Detectives Endowment Association. I didn't see you at the funeral of Detective Diller. Were you there at the funeral?
Absolutely. Yes, I was there. A very sad day.
I assume you were. And you saw the anger of the people outside, 10,000 people outside St. Rose Church. I'm sure you saw it because it was palpable, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And I'm sure you saw the display of the 6,000 police officers from all over the country who came to show respect to the Diller family. I'm sure you saw that, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So now we are in a situation where 34,000 New York City police officers are subjected to anarchy every day, putting their lives in danger. Detective Diller was 31 years old with a one-year-old baby. What do the rank and file, the police officers themselves, who can only make arrests and protect, okay? Generally, what are they thinking, Detective?
Well, they lost confidence in our government because the Senate, the Assembly, and the City Council, they've enacted laws that further tie the hands of the police and are more concerned with the rights of the criminal element than the rights of the victims of crime.
All right, but you say they've lost confidence. Why does that matter? Does that affect the job they do when they go out every day? Are they bitter, cynical? Have they changed their job behavior? Give me a specific. So what's going on the street?
Well, basically, they're making the arrests. We're taking thousands and thousands of guns off the street every day just for them, the individuals that possess them, to be let out right away and to victimize the people of the city again. The problem is that the police department is doing their part. We need the criminal justice department to do their part and keep these violent criminals behind bars.
All right. Are you seeing any... The City Council of New York generally despises New York City police officers. The legislature in Albany, okay, look at Hasty, despises your crew. The Attorney General of the state has tied the hands of New York City police officers, Letitia James, who is about 10 feet from me at the funeral of Detective Diller. Yep. Is there bitterness seeping in to the individual officers in New York City?
Oh, absolutely. The confidence level and the support by the elected officials have really taken a toll on the police on the street. Everyone that they confront now is a confrontational situation. Our hands are tied as far as what you could do and when you could do it and how you could do it. And you don't have the backing of your government. When you don't have the backing of the government, the police will not work effectively.
All right. Would you say that morale is at an all-time low among the NYPD?
My 41 years in the NYPD, this is the lowest I've ever seen morale.
Would you say that New York City is now a dangerous place because of the far left politics?
100%.
Would you say there is anybody trying to solve this problem? Is the governor, Hochul, trying to solve the problem? Is the mayor of New York City trying to solve the problem?
Well, actually, the mayor of New York City agrees without thoughts. It's the council that's really stopping all the pro-policing legislation. And Albany, the Senate and the Assembly, just continue to try and enact laws to tie the hands of the police and put the good law-abiding citizens of New York City in harm's way.
All right, last question. You've been on the job 41 years with rank and file, doing the detective work and now in the union. In your opinion, why has the public not risen up? You don't see demonstrations. You don't see them in favor of the police and against these progressive politicians. They don't exist. Why not?
Because everybody that cared left and are leaving at an alarming rate. People are leaving New York City and New York State at an alarming rate. Detectives and police officers are retiring and leaving.
So you think they're scared. And I agree with that partly, but I don't think there's enough leadership on the other side that organizes these kinds of things, because that has to happen. All right, Detective, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
This is the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
So our go-to media guy is named Bernie Goldberg. Okay, you may have heard about Bernie. He wrote a book way back after he left CBS News called Bias. And he was the first one, even before me, to really pinpoint the trend in American newsrooms on television to the left. And he documented it because he was at CBS News since U.S. Grant was president. I mean, Bernie has been around. And so he knew what it was in the beginning and then what it turned into. Now, he wrote Bias, huge bestseller, after he left CBS. But before he left it, CBS News, he wrote an article in a Wall Street Journal pretty much saying that, and then took that article and turned it into a book. After he wrote the article in the Wall Street Journal, Dan Rather targeted Bernie Goldberg. And I know that because I work for Rather. I was there when Bernie was there, and Bernie was a much bigger star at CBS than I was, which was grossly unfair. But I know that. And Rather targeted Goldberg, and Goldberg was frozen out and had to leave the company. Now we have a similar situation at a lower level, NPR. So there's a guy, Uri Berliner, an executive, who basically came out and said, NPR is left and doesn't cover the news responsibly. Here is Uri's quote. An open-minded spirit no longer exists within NPR. And now, predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America. That wouldn't be a problem for an openly polemical news outlet serving a niche audience. But for NPR, which purports to consider all things, it's devastating both for its journalism and business model, unquote. Well, for writing that, Uri got suspended, and today he quit NPR. Joining us now from North Carolina is the aforementioned media expert, Bernard Goldberg. How about that for a lead? Pretty good?
You got it all right, and you're one of the few people who's reporting on Uri Berliner who actually remembered that in 1996, I did what he did in 2024.
Exactly. There was no difference. And Berliner, like you, was personally offended because he thought it was unfair. He thinks it's unfair, right?
Exactly.
So after all this time, the left-wing media has gotten way more left than it was when you and I were at CBS News, I believe, and way more intolerant. Well, I don't know about that, because you were iced. And that must have really been difficult for you, right?
Well, I was iced in a social way more than a journalistic way. Rather didn't want any part of me. You're right about that. But I had friends who didn't want to be seen within the same zip code as me, because that might get word back to Dan Rather, and who knows what might happen then. But I didn't get suspended. I didn't get fired. And I think one of the reasons is Michael Jordan came to my defense. Not that Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the CEO of Westinghouse, the company that owned CBS at the time. And he gave an interview to a magazine in which he said, I understand what Bernie Goldberg said, and he's gone to something. And I think that saved me from being suspended or worse at CBS. And
then four years after you wrote the journal article, did you leave? I mean, you were a star at CBS. They were giving you all good assignments.
Because 60 Minutes 2 came along. And while some people in the front office said, this is a quote, it's a no-brainer that Bernie should be on that show, because Rather was the chief correspondent on that show, I got iced out of that show. And I said, I've had enough of this crap. And I called and I quit. That was
that a wise move in hindsight?
That's a very interesting question. In hindsight, the best move I've ever made, because I wound up on your show. I wrote 5 books. None of that would have happened if I didn't quit. I would have been at CBS, and then they would have dumped me like they dumped a whole bunch of other people, and I don't know where I'd be today.
All right.
I took a chance when I quit. I took a huge chance, but it was the best move I ever made.
Okay, I'm glad it worked out. Now, one more thing on this, and then we'll go into ABC News. It's possible that people didn't want to be seen with you because you're you. Cheap shot alert. I've had dinner with Goldberg. I know he has trouble with the fork. Okay, let's go to ABC News. So that's CBS News and NPR. Now we're over at ABC. ABC News runs The View. It's incredible. But ABC News is in charge of The View, not ABC Entertainment. If it were entertainment, I'd have no beef at all. I wouldn't care what they did. But with news, it's a little bit different. So the ladies on The View are all rooting for a criminal conviction for Donald Trump. They're rooting. Roll the tape.
They are never going to find someone that doesn't know about the former twice impeached loser president, yeah. Right? They're never going to find that. But what I did find also interesting about my Super Bowl is that the legal teams will be checking the jurors' social media profiles to see if they can assess the truthfulness and intention of what they said during voir dire, which is their questioning. And I think that's really, really important, because if you start liking Trump's and you follow Trump stuff on social media, can you be impartial?
Can you be impartial? Yeah, but the others, it's okay if you hate her.
Exactly.
But when she refers to Super Bowl, she means Ms. Hostin does. And I gave Ms. Hostin her start on television, by the way, and I like her as a person. Her Super Bowl is a Trump conviction. So my question to you, Goldberg, is this. How can ABC News run this operation and then tell the American people it's fair?
I don't know. But the only thing I could conjecture from this is that it is a successful show in terms of daytime ratings. They pay their people, Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and the others, millions and millions of dollars. So they must be making a lot of money, the show. And maybe that money is used to finance other things at ABC News. Maybe that money is used to finance coverage of the war in Ukraine and the war in Gaza. But I worked for CBS News when Walter Cronkite was the anchor, and then later Dan Rather. And I can't imagine, and I don't think, well, I'll let you speak for yourself, Bill, but I can't imagine that CBS News allowing a show like that to be part of CBS News.
It besmirches the operation.
Exactly.
When I was working for Peter Jennings would never, ever, and Jennings was powerful, ever allowed that in a million years. And then you have George Stephanopoulos, who is deemed the top news correspondent at ABC News, when he is obviously a Democratic activist. I mean, so I think we can both conclude that all standards of fairness have collapsed at the network level. Would that be fair to say?
Well, all standards of fairness. I mean, they've been liberal, they are liberal, and they will continue to be liberal. That much, I'll go that far. But as far as The View is concerned, it's got to be, nobody thinks of The View as part of ABC News.
Right, it is.
Don't think of it in those terms. But it should never, ever happen. It shouldn't happen.
And people should know only 2 million... A little more than 2 million people a day watch the program. It's nothing. It's infinitesimal. Let's go to CNN. We'll wrap this up. So CNN thought that a new program. What was that?
It must be making some money.
It makes a little money because they just sit around on a stage and it doesn't have a big overhead. But it's not well watched in comparison to what used to be on. Okay, CNN. So they hired Gail King, who is a CBS correspondent and anchors the CBS Morning News, and they hired Charles Barkley, who is a basketball analyst. They put them together, this is CNN, 6 months ago, hoping that one show out of all of their shows could break out and attract attention and an audience. It failed dismally. The show was canceled yesterday. Okay, I know most of my viewers have never seen the show on CNN. Here's a clip.
Charles, wait, you believe in aliens?
No.
You don't?
Because I haven't seen one. Okay, but I presume
one.
You can know something is true even if you have
haven't
never seen it.
Exactly.
Well, did somebody else? I
that's
never
a
met...
good point, Neil.
Wait, first of all, that's not a good point.
Yeah,
it is, because
yes.
you are not the
yes.
measure
yes.
of what
that
is true
a good
in
point.
The world. Well, somebody else would have told me.
No, but Charles.
No, hey, I'm knocking on your door. Are you? Wait, when they say, take me to your leader, they're going to come to you?
No, is that what you're saying? No, I just want to say this. What? I told you, it was an honor and a privilege to meet you.
Okay.
But if we had a person coming on here who met an alien, we wouldn't have you on the show.
Okay, so it was a fairly entertaining situation. And Barkley, the matchup with Ms. King, who's cautious, very cautious, with Barkley's a bomb thrower, that wasn't the best matchup. You need somebody to go after Barkley to provoke him, and that's how you get ratings. But I'm going to submit that whatever CNN puts on will fail because its brand is so damaged. And it's damaged because of their presidential coverage of Donald Trump. It's shot and it's not coming back. Do you disagree?
You know, I've been thinking about this. You know, in just about every town, there's a restaurant that closes after a while. And in that same location, another restaurant comes in and that fails. And then a third restaurant comes into the very same location and that one goes under. CNN is like a bad location. It just doesn't, it isn't hot like MSNBC with its outlandish progressive views. It isn't conservative like Fox. It's sort of like old-fashioned liberal. And in the United States of entertainment, old-fashioned liberal doesn't cut it anymore. And you're onto something, certainly, with your analysis that they went after Donald Trump during the presidential election. Nobody is surprised when MSNBC does that. Nobody is surprised when Fox fawns over Donald Trump. That's expected. CNN was sort of in the middle. It was always liberal, but it was in the middle. And when it went all in against Donald Trump, that did not help the brand. That became the location, like the bad restaurants, that became the location where almost nothing works anymore.
All right, good analysis. Bernie Goldberg, make him happy. Now, I'm making a humanitarian appeal now, so let me do it.
Humanitarian.
Make Bernard Goldberg happy. I don't think that's too much to ask. He just gave us a good 7 minutes, right? Make him happy. And it's very easy to do that. You go to BernardGoldberg.com and he's happy. So let's all do that in response to Goldberg's appearance today. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes, it does. All right, Goldberg, we'll see you soon. Thanks for the good segment. We appreciate it.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
Now, this indoctrination stuff is causing social upheaval all over the country. You know that, all right? So we see Target, we see the Dodgers. The Dodgers, by the way, are falling apart on the field, as I predicted that God would, you know. So they lost yesterday. They blew an unbelievable lead, and now they're all mad or in the dugout, or I don't know. But anyway, I can't see the Dodgers prospering. But could be wrong. Anyway, this social upheaval about all the trans stuff, which basically backhoes into the gay stuff, all right, is causing people to get angry. And sometimes you act out in a way that's not fair. As I said before, a lot of gay people don't like this trans stuff, particularly when it's aimed at kids. I get letters all the time, and I read to them. Now, it's all part of a breaking down traditional American society, and there is a new book out called The Anti-Communist Manifesto. It's a great book cover, by the way, one of the best book covers I've seen in a while. It's by Jesse Kelly. You may know him. He's on the First TV along with me. He does a nationally syndicated radio program, The Jesse Kelly Show. And I think it took them like 5 days to come up with that title, but I'm not sure, Kelly. The Jesse Kelly Show, is that widely debated about what we should call a radio show?
You know, Bill, it's actually funny. Initially, when I got that spot, the nationally syndicated radio spot, they wanted to call it something else. It was something, I forget, America Now or America First or something. And I thought, well, that's kind of confusing. Plus, I'm so arrogant that I just really wanted it to mainly focus on me and me, Bill.
So I'm the same way. The O'Reilly factor. Now, the No Spin News, where you're on now, it's a little bit different, but everybody knows I run that operation. So I'm reading your book, and it's essentially about a communist movement that you believe is well underway in this country and how to fight against that, the Anti-Communist Manifesto. But I'm still unclear about who exactly you feel is communist. So is President Biden a communist in your opinion?
Well, it depends on how you want me to answer that question.
No, I want you to answer it by your point of view. Is Biden a communist?
Of course he is. Now, he may not be one of the ones that's doing the thinking. Of course he's not one of the ones that's doing the thinking. I think everyone can agree on that. But if 10 guys are sitting in front of me with ball bats and one guy wants to beat me to death with it and two of the guys don't really want to, but they'll go along with the group if everyone else does it really matter to me that it wasn't their idea and they don't really want to feel like it?
Okay,
no.
but
Joe Biden, he is.
Let's stay specifically. You rightly define early in the book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, what communist is. It's people who support the abolition of private property. That no private property should exist. That's what Karl Marx and Engels and Stalin and Castro, Mao, no private property. You have no power as a human being. The state tells you what to do. That's communist. Now, Biden doesn't believe that, does he?
That's not communism. That was the original definition they sold to people. That's not, as I lay out in the book, the actual way it works out. Communism has nothing to do with nationalization of this or the government telling you this or government telling you that. Communism is simply the religion of the malcontent, Bill. That's why in the Soviet Union, they went after the urban poor. They told the Chinese when the Chinese communists were coming up, they said, hey, focus on the urban poor. And Mao and the Chinese said, no, that's stupid. We don't have malcontented urban poor here in China. We have malcontented rural poor here in China, so that's where we go. It took on a different form in Cambodia. They tried to do the same thing here, focusing on the workers, and that failed because our workers have an excellent standard of living here. It just never caught a hold.
But in the original original Communist Manifesto, private property is abolished. So you're expanding that, I think, in your analysis of the problem of communism. Am I right there?
Yes and no, I'm not expanding it. They did. It never took that form. It never took that form originally. That's how they sold it. All communism's based on deception. Of course, we're going to help the workers and make things equal. And of course that. But it never once took on the form that even Marx envisioned it would take on. It just took on, as always, a murderous totalitarian form. And these murdering savages always rose to power by focusing on the malcontents of any society where they are. We in America have different ones here. That's why they changed tactics. We didn't have malcontented workers. We had angry black people who were being mistreated. We have angry gays. We have angry feminists, because feminists are always freaking angry. We have angry climate change people who think your SUV is burning down the planet. They're malcontented. They're bitter. They want to burn the place down. People like, not Joe Biden, but the Klaus Schwabs of the world, the Bill Gateses of the world, Jeff Bezos, the commies who are around Joe Biden, they know they can use those malcontents. They can use their anger to get power and burn down the country they hate.
I see it more of a totalitarian movement than a doctrinaire communist movement. These people that you've just mentioned all have one thing in common. They don't have confidence that we, the people, will make right decisions. They think we're a bad country from the jump. We've always been racist. We've always persecuted people. But they're not property driven as much as they don't want freedom. Freedom is what they're after. They want to impose trans.
But that's all communist, Bill. But that's all communist, Bill. They're all that way. I mean, the communist takeover of North Korea, as you well know, they were selling the same thing. It's not that they were about seizing private property. They saw themselves, the Kim family, as kings.
Yeah, but there's no private property in North Korea. Jesse, there's no private property in North Korea.
I understand that.
You're separating.
But it's all totalitarian, Bill.
Yes.
It's all totalitarian.
And believe me.
Communism always is.
Now, here's a question. I, at the beginning of this program, went over the far-left media cabal that got Chris Licht fired. And big names in there. And I ran them all down. What's in it for them to push this totalitarianism?
The same thing that's always in it, Bill. Power. Power and money is what's in it for them, because they always believe, all of them do, they always believe the street communists, the Antifa, the street trash, all the way up to the Bezos, they all have convinced themselves that they will be the ones sitting at the seat of power when all the chairs have stopped being filled after the music stops. They always convince themselves, if I burn down enough, if I help this guy burn down enough, if I destroy enough, in the end, I will get all the things I've wanted that guy has, and I'll punish my enemies, and it'll work out fine. But actually, that's the only good part about communism, Bill, is in the end, it ends up eating all of them. They'll all burn in the end. Everyone goes down.
Well, either alive or dead. Final question for you. Joe Biden's the farthest left president we've ever had. He makes Obama look like Barry Goldwater. If you really understand what Biden enables, the kind of thinking he enables, just the border alone, just that alone is so insane. But I don't believe that Joe Biden has any clue about what he is doing and what it is going to lead to. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. He's a useful idiot. Susan Rice is the thinking. Brian Deese is the thinking. You know all these names, Bill. All these commies who were around. They're all Barack Obama's people. Now there's no more Barack Obama to say, hey, slow down on that. Hey, that looks bad. You have this doddering old fool as commander-in-chief who doesn't have the reins held back on any of these people. He's a useful idiot, as most communists are.
All right. Are you supporting Trump, or are you keeping an open mind in the GOP?
I don't care either way. I like Trump a lot. I like DeSantis a lot. Trump's public comments about the COVID stuff rub me the wrong way right now, but I'm voting for either of them if they're the nominee. That's for sure. We got to stop this madness.
All right. The book is The Anti-Communist Manifesto. I really like the cover. Did you design that? That's a good cover.
I did. Well, I did and I didn't, Bill. I told him I wanted it very simple. I didn't want all the splash and cover and stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be simple. I wanted it to pop.
I designed all mine, and that's why it's caught my eye. It's good. Good luck with the book, Jesse. We appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up and start watching today.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.